Welcome to SROA Soundboard, a podcast for radiation oncology administrators. I'm Tammy McCausland. Beverly Cusano is joining us today for our In Conversation with Administrators series. Beverly is Administrative Director of Radiation Oncology at the Helen F. Graham Cancer Center and Research Institute. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you, Tammy.
Could you tell me how you got into radiation oncology leadership?
Sure. As I was growing up, I thought I always wanted to be a nurse. So I started out in nurse's training at Mary Hitchcock, Dartmouth, Hanover, New Hampshire. And although I excelled academically, clinically, I discovered this was not as glorious as I thought it was going to be. And I ended up quitting that program. Certainly falling out of grace with my father, and went back home. We, as a family, the girls in the family, all of us, we've all worked to help get our funding for our colleges. So I went back to working at a grocery store. I knew I still wanted to work in healthcare, so happened to come across the radiology program at the University of Vermont, called, got an appointment set up, spoke to a counselor, and enrolled in that program. Excuse me. Back then, the first year was rotation through the diagnostic imaging, NuCMed, and radiation therapy. I was one of the last ones to get a rotation for radiation therapy. In fact, I had to ask for it because I knew there was only one opening left. And the minute I got into radiation therapy, I loved it. I just knew this is where I wanted to be. So I started as a radiation therapist. And within a couple of years, at one of the facilities I was working, I was asked if I would become the chief therapist. I didn't apply for it. I loved that. It was a great experience. And then after my husband and I moved to another location, I was probably there a year and asked if I would take over the administrative director job for my boss who was going to be leaving. I laugh and kiddingly say at the time I was pregnant and attribute my positive response of, sure, I'll do it, to my pregnancy and hormone change, but I've never regretted it. And so have been in leadership ever since that time.
If I could ask, what was it that you liked about radiation therapy when you were going through your rotations that made you feel like this is where you wanted to be, that led to, you know, your career in therapy and then leadership?
I think it was probably primarily at that time, the patient contact, a little more autonomy. You're the one delivering the treatment. You're the one responsible for their care and their outcome in a way, although you work collaboratively as a team, but you're the ones the patients get to know. And it was just fulfilling and rewarding. It's not like any other profession.
And was your dad happy that you ended up in health?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I got back on his graces after that.
Great. What do you like about being in leadership?
For me personally, I think it's that I believe in servant leadership. So I like the fact that people can feel they can come to me and hopefully I'm mentoring them, that they can trust me if there are things that they have concerns about, that I can point them in the right direction, that I can say, I've observed your work for X amount of time. You seem to be an expert or skilled in this area. Let's talk about growth. And it doesn't always end up that their growth is in our department, but at least I've helped them take a career path that they may not have thought of before. So it's really just helping people that report to you.
And what do you find hardest about leadership, especially in radiation oncology?
I would say probably any place I've ever worked, it's the challenging part is people don't communicate as well as they could. Many times if there's a mistake, and I'm not talking mistakes that reach the patient, but in your quality checks you find out that, hey, the order said this, but this didn't, that's not what got planned, et cetera, or the patient didn't show up and that's not what was on their schedule. It's communication, and the more we communicate with each other, the less likely you are to have things happen that shouldn't occur. It may sound trivial, but really that is a huge challenge, is just getting people to communicate.
What have you learned about communication that you think others could benefit from?
That it is always best to be transparent and have that communication. Nobody likes dealing with conflict, but sometimes conflict has to occur, and it's all in how you approach it and how you communicate. So for me personally, I have learned, for example, if a physician gets upset about something, I can tell the difference between are they venting or are they really upset with me, and in the manner in which I'm spoken to. And so if I don't appreciate the manner in which I'm spoken to, I know to walk away after the fact, collect myself, and go back and say, do you have a minute? I want to talk to you about the conversation we just had. I also need to keep that in mind when I'm talking to my own staff and something happened that absolutely never should have happened. Assume a good intention and take the personal thoughts out of it and have the conversation.
And how has that worked for you, the key points that you said, like take the personal out of it and assume the good intention?
Yeah, it's not always easy. It doesn't always work, but at least you've made an effort.
I think that's good advice that other people can take with them. You've had a really good career. What are you working on accomplishing at this point in your career?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. We have a lot going on in our department right now. So I'm working through looking at a 5-year strategic plan. Those should be a living document. Where are we in that plan?
In terms of your professional development, what professional organizations do you belong to and why?
I belong to ASRT, and I read the journals because I still do keep my license, although I haven't practiced clinically in several years. And it's also good to know what's out there and what's going on that would be a benefit to our own radiation therapists. I belong to ASTRO. Always great information there. Great resources, human resources, information in their journals and their on their blogs, on their, well, what's comparable to our SROA Connect. And then I belong to SROA, where I've been on the board 7 years. This will be my last year on the board. Participated on several committees within SROA and just found it really rewarding and fulfilling. And seen SROA really grow and be the society it needs to be.
How has being involved in SROA shaped you both professionally and personally?
Believe it or not, I'm an introvert, so it's helped me to grow personally and be able to know that I don't know all the answers. There are colleagues out there who have those answers, so it's provided an absolute great networking resource. A lot of information is on our website, and those are resources that I look to as well. There are people who post things on SROA Connect that I would not have thought, hey, that's something you're doing in your department. We need to be taking a look at that as well. So in general, it's just it's a resource that I can feel confident going to, along with ASTRO and ASRT.
Let's talk a little bit about Beverly, the outside of work person. Who or what inspires you and why?
My mother was always an inspiration. She was a school teacher. She graduated very young from college. I think she was 19 and took on a job teaching in a rural town in Vermont. I remember my dad telling me the story. She had some troublemakers. They were always known as troublemakers before she took that job. And within weeks, she had the boys asking if they could stay and help her clean the room and clean up the chalkboard. She just had this ability to know how to work with people, what's important to them, to listen, and she was just an awesome person. The second person who inspired me was probably the chief therapist that I had when I was working at an institution in Massachusetts. She really was a mentor for me. Kind of drawing me out of my shell, telling me, you don't have enough self-confidence, why not? You're excellent at this. You shouldn't let things, you know, bother you. Speak up. And she was just wonderful. And so they were role models. They put a sense of self-worth, if you will, out there for me.
That's amazing. And what do you do when you have free time?
After work and on the weekends, if I'm not doing any work, I have so many things I'd love to do, but there's never enough time to do them all. I love to scrapbook, and I don't do your typical scrapbook. I put a lot of embellishments into each page. In fact, I did one for our daughter when it was a culmination of her high school years. She didn't get it till she graduated from college, but she did get one. I love photography. I walk every day, rain or shine, at least 2 miles, and on the weekends I'll typically do up to 6 a day. I love to read. I love to travel. I can't wait to get back into traveling to Europe. But like I said, you can't do all these things in a short weekend.
And what are you currently reading?
I love to read historical fiction. Now, someone told me that is an oxymoron. And sure, the fiction, you know, there's a lot of fluff in there, but the historical part is very interesting to me. I just finished a book called The Exiles. It was about women in the 1800s in England who had committed crimes and how they were treated, shipped across the ocean to Australia, where they would be put in these dilapidated buildings, terrible conditions, and based on what their skill was prior to committing a crime, they may have been allowed outside of the environment to, you know, take care of laundry for a well-to-do family or do take care of a child, but they had to go home every night. It was fascinating. And afterwards, I went on the internet, and these things happened, and I was never aware of that. So it's a really, really good book. I highly recommend it.
So do you like the kind of reading that is also enlightening as opposed to just being a good read?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we work in healthcare. You work in an environment that can be sad, can be depressing if you let it, and you have to take your own personal feelings away when you're dealing with cancer patients. I don't like to read professional journals on my free time. I prefer to do it at work when I have a half hour here and there, and it's relevant to what I need to do at work. But when I'm on my own time, I want to read something that's totally different.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
It isn't so much as to what I've received as to what I've seen and know that it's true. And it is, from a work perspective, people are always, always going to remember how you treat them. And I can't encourage that enough for people in leadership roles. That's what the people who report to you, that's who your colleagues, they're going to remember how you treat them.
And would you translate that into the best advice you would give to others?
Definitely.
Well, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time today, Beverly. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me to participate. Thanks. Take care, Tammy.
Take care. Thank you for listening to SROA Soundboard. We hope you will join us again. For more information, visit www.sroa.org.